John S. Doyle is here again with It Says in the Papers.
There is a large photograph of Karen Dernan in school uniform on the front page of the Irish Independent. The search for the 8-year-old boy who is missing and is now presumed dead dominates the front pages. The Irish Examiner reports that yesterday Gardaí took possession of a former family home of the child on a terraced street in Dundalk via a court order. Alison O'Reilly says the paper understands that at least three other properties in County Louth will be searched as part of efforts to locate his remains. The Irish Sun's front page has an aerial photograph of the search taking place in the back garden of the house in Dundalk. Stephen Breen reports that stunned neighbours near the house are praying he is found. The Irish Daily Mail leads with the comment by the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, that it is deeply disturbing that a child could go missing in the state for years, as with the case of Karen Dernan. Gareth McNamee reports Tuzla as saying yesterday that while the boy was never in its care, the agency received significant information about Karen in August and alerted Gardaí. In the Irish Times, Conor Lally writes that though Tuzla had dealings with the family, Karen was not in state care, and sources said it was not suspected he was being abused. For its lead story, the Times reports on the sentencing at the Old Bailey in London yesterday of Thomas Bomber Kavanagh, the Irish man who led the Kinahan Gang's British operation, and fellow gang member Liam Byrne on weapons charges. On an inside page, Mark Paul and Conor Lally explain the complicated story. As the Irish Daily Star headline puts it, Bomber and Byrne got extra jail time for a gun plot to trick the cops. The Independent has an editorial comment about Mary Lou McDonald's apology in the Doyle yesterday to the teenager who received inappropriate text messages from a Sinn Féin senator. Many will believe her apology was too little, way too late, says the paper. The Independent, in its lead story, says that workers are resisting a full-time return to the office, while some employers push for more days on site. That's according to two reports published today, which Anne-Marie Walsh says shine a light on the workplace power struggle that has emerged since the COVID-19 pandemic. An IBEC report says that attracting talent for fully on-site roles has become more challenging. At the same time, the recruitment firm Morgan McKinley says companies are trying to increase what they call their on-site presence requirement. Also staying at home, though perhaps not voluntarily, are dozens of pupils who have been unable to find places in mainstream schools since last September and are being taught at home. In some parts of the country, especially the Dublin commuter belt, Carl O'Brien reports in the Times, some families have struggled to find school places for their children, and pressure is most acute at second level. The US presidential election in less than 2 weeks' time gets much coverage. In The Examiner, Durica Lee, a retired army colonel and a defence analyst, writes that a victory for Donald Trump would be bad for Palestine. Given Trump's concessions to Israel in 2021, including recognising its annexation of the Golan Heights, prospects of progress towards a two-state solution during a second Trump administration seem remote, he says. But on the question of a ceasefire in Gaza, could the Biden administration still pull a rabbit out of the hat? There is a faint light at the end of the tunnel, says Lee. The recommendations in the Dublin City Task Force report, launched this week, are under scrutiny in the Times. This is all stuff we've seen before, writes Una Mullally. The task force's true purpose, writes John McManus in the same paper, is to allow the government to say it has tackled a problem that exists primarily in its own head. The idea that our once proud capital has been turned into a no-go area for decent people.